Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, you're listening to Marriage Therapy Radio with Zach Riddle and Laura Heck. If it's not obvious, I record these intros after we record the episode and before it airs. And since we recorded the episode, a couple things have happened. One is our new video with Vanity Fair focusing on Ross and Rachel from Friends dropped. If you're coming over to the podcast from YouTube, thank you. Thanks for joining us. I hope that you'll enjoy our conversation. Another thing that happened, didn't really happen, but something that I've been thinking about a lot is one of my favorite literary characters of all time is Ender Wiggin, who is the protagonist of a novel called Ender's Game by Orson Scott Card. And Ender is this little kid who is a military genius and gets tapped on the shoulder and recruited into the sort of intergalactic army to save the Earth from space invaders. But he has two unique gifts, and one is strategy. He's brilliant at strategy, and it's called Ender's Game because Ender finds a way constantly to change strategy within the context of the game that he's playing in order to win in a new way. And his other gift is empathy, and he has this amazing capacity to climb up inside the mind of another, even and maybe even often his enemy. And I've been thinking about him a lot because he is kind of the hero of this podcast, because we're talking today about how to use strategy and empathy to, sometimes go it alone with your partner when your partner is presenting something that is problematic or that seems troubling, maybe even presents as your enemy. How do you use an empathetic strategy to counter that? So it's a cool conversation. Stick around.
I was just commenting how handsome your shirt is.
Thanks. It's a large.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Which is important because it's not an extra large. Now, does that mean that your larges actually fit now?
They're better. They're closer. Yeah. Closer. This one is a little tight, but I'd been in my office all day by myself. So I just have this like top quarter thing going on here.
I always wear like little shorts when I'm working, because I get hot in my office. And so people can only see me from like my rib cage up, and I can wear whatever I want.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah. I noticed that you were enjoying a lovely beverage.
Yeah, I just finished.
You must be.
I just finished my client day. Yeah. So beers in the afternoon. That's my
celebrating.
That's my style.
This is how it all started, how it all began, was just two people enjoying one another's company over a couple of delightful IPAs, chatting about what we were seeing in our practice.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, which I wish you were there. I wish you were there last night. I have a couple.
You wish I was where last night?
I wish you were with my couples last night. I have a couple. I've mentioned them on the podcast before, and then I told them, hey, keep your ears out because I mentioned you on the podcast. They have my permission. All right. They gave me permission.
You see this right here?
But I said, what am I looking at? Your finger? Yeah. I can't look at it. It's gnarly. Hold on. Hey, for those of you who have never seen what Zach looks like, I want you to go to the interwebs and just type Google, type in mallet finger, and you are about to see a famous hand.
I'm the mallet finger guy.
That's, yeah. Do people like stop you in grocery stores and say like, totally. Oh, you like, must be the mallet finger guy. Can I have your autograph?
That, speaking of that, apparently by the time this podcast come out, so will our Friends video for Vanity Fair. And the reason I thought of that is because Joey was a hand model.
Yes, he was.
Remember that? Uh-huh. Yeah. So I'm like a hand model. I'm the mallet finger model.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's two ways to go about seeing Zach. You can see his handsome face if you go to Vanity Fair. And what do you have to search if you're on Vanity Fair?
I don't know.
Just type Vanity Fair, Friends.
Zach Riddle, Laura Heck, Friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
You'll find
what if there was a video
episode
about us being friends?
It would be a short video. It would be a lot of starting and stopping and then redos.
I need a vacation. You know what I'm going to do after this?
Come visit me in Bend?
No. I'm going to go get a pedicure. I'm going to go get a pedicure.
Good. I have a photograph of the two of us getting pedicures together.
I'm due.
By the way, here's one of the things that I like. And we got a comment on iTunes about this. Is that... No, it was a positive comment.
One of the few.
I was scrolling and I found that a lot of the other marriage podcasts out there or relationship-based podcasts are all done by husband and wife teams.
Oh, yeah.
And we are not husband and wife teams, which is, I think what makes us. I know. Wouldn't work. Not very well at all. But I do think that that is kind of fun that we are genuinely just good buddies, sometimes more good buddies than other times, and just enjoy just hanging out with you guys, our podcast listeners, chit-chatting.
Cool. Yeah. And earlier this week, you threatened the end of our friendship.
Because you threatened to not be on time. And you know that that is like a pet peeve of mine.
And then what happened?
You were early and I clearly our friendship means a lot to you.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me get back to this. I said to these clients, I said, hey, I've been working with you for a while, so I'm just going to test run something. I have like this theory, this idea, and I start to explain it to them and their eyes start to glaze over. And I was like, I haven't quite got it figured out. And I just wanted to like test run it with you. Maybe you can give me some pointers because what I'm always trying to do is come up with just like good metaphors or good imagery to help illustrate a point in a way where people are going to remember it. And there's nobody better on this planet than you for using words to, I'm really buttering you up here.
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I kind of wanted to explain where I'm going with
this. Wait.
What?
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
You're welcome.
That means a lot to me.
That's what we call positive reinforcement. Yeah. I said something positive and then you're now reinforcing it because you want me to do it more.
Yes.
I will do that.
Yeah.
I promise. Okay. So help me figure out a way to create some sort of metaphor. But what this is all about is I find that if I'm working with individuals, which is very rare, I don't want to really see you as an individual. The only time I see individuals is if I have a couple and for whatever reason, either the couple breaks up, which does happen, by the way, and it's very purposeful. And one person just wants to continue on with me. Sometimes, like I started with a couple and the woman was like, I don't like couples therapy. I just genuinely don't like it. And he's like, well, I really like it. So I'm going to keep seeing Laura and she's going to work on me in the relationship. And that's actually quite helpful because I know their situation. Hmm. So when I'm working with an individual, all we have control over is the person that's sitting right in front of me. And that's usually, it's hard because if somebody comes to me, so here's the situation. My partner comes to me with anger, with frustration, with irritability, they're blaming, they're critical. What do I do? Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where I'm working with. And so if you are someone that's listening to the podcast and you're like, yes, that sounds like my partner, irritable, angry, blaming, critical. What do you do with that? How can you affect a more positive outcome rather than getting looped into and reactive in that situation? And so what I was imagining was, imagine that your partner has this like metaphorical bullet and they shoot this bullet, but instead of the bullet coming at you at full speed, the bullet suddenly hits this like middle zone where in the movies, it just like kind of like slows down. It has like this little morphe
like situation. In the Matrix.
Like in the Matrix, right? So like the bullet slows down between partner A and partner B, and you're able to look at the bullet in the moment clearly and able to react in real time, but it allows you enough time, like a buffer, to make a solid decision. And I'm imagining that that buffer that is created between partner A and partner B is created with empathy and understanding.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So what I like to think about it is, okay, so partner B, you're about to get hit with a critical bullet and you have a choice. You can either get hit and get defensive, like put your shields up, or you can allow some opportunity to get slow. It slows the bullet slows way down with empathy, slows way down with understanding. And where we get that is, I like to ask the question of like, if this isn't about me, what is it about my partner? Why is it, what do I know about my partner that might have them being critical? What is it about my partner that might be creating this type of anxiety or anxious energy? What do I know about my partner? If it's not about me and it's about them, then what is it that I know about them that might be creating this pain? That's kind of what I imagine this bullet being, is their pain that they're just trying to project onto me.
Can I have a turn?
I want you to, yes, I would love that. I'm like, please, please, Zach, talk.
Here's how I teach this, like, very same thing.
Okay.
And it's a skill that I think is really, really hard to develop, but it's really powerful. And it's not quite a metaphor, but to me, it's about, what if you imagine that every single thing that your partner said to you was your partner talking about your partner,
mm-hmm.
and not your partner talking about you?
Right. Your partner talking about themselves.
Right. So a partner comes in and says, "Hey, you big dumb jerk." Like, you could be like, "I'm not a big dumb jerk. You're a big dumb jerk. Like, you, you can't call me a big," or you could say, "Hmm, I wonder what's going on here." Like, there's lots of options, right? They could be drunk. They could be sleepwalking. They could be hallucinating. They could be angry.
Pretty drastic. Yeah.
I mean, well, you kind of have to entertain the ridiculous in order to make room for the probable, right? Because, you know, you might be inclined to be like, "I'm not a big dumb jerk. You're a big dumb jerk. You're a piece of shit," or whatever. But maybe what they're saying is, I'm a scared little boy in a grown-up costume, and I don't know how to express that right now. And maybe what they need is a hug or some perspective or a glass of water or to be woken up, you know, because again, there's, if you can create space where my partner is talking about my partner and not me, then you can slow the thing down, right? Because the reality is that when we respond out of defensiveness, it's actually a pretty immature response.
Yeah. It's all about you.
Yeah. And I just like to think about the ability to put a pause between an impulse and an action, right? Like, I'm having this impulse, which is to defend myself or to counterattack or to run away.
Yeah.
Let me pause long enough to decide whether or not I need to put an action in there. Like, it's not exactly a metaphor, but I think it's the skill of thinking, what if my partner was talking about my partner?
Yeah.
And my partner wasn't talking about me? Because again, the only thing you can influence or control is the way that you respond to any of that stuff. And I think it gives you more power. Honestly, I think it gives you more power to like, to embrace that pause and to feed it, fuel it, you know?
Absolutely. Like, it, rather than feeling powerless that you just are getting kind of jerked around, right? Like, your partner has all these big emotions and maybe they're just sending criticism your way. They're sending all of this negativity your way. And you just feel like, well, here we go again. I'm just getting about ready to get swept up into this tornado. But it gives you power to be able to step back and say, actually, I don't have to get swept up. I have a moment. I have this buffer that I've created because I have been developing empathy for my partner. So I want to talk about, how do you develop that empathy, that understanding? And the way that I think about it is understanding your partner's enduring vulnerabilities, understanding all of the soft places inside of them that they often don't show to other people. And in fact, it's probably those enduring vulnerabilities that they become reactive about. Like, when that gets triggered within them, then that's when they become more reactive. That's where the pain shows up. And that's when they start firing those pain bullets your way. So if we get curious and start understanding, like, in this moment, if it's not about me and it's about my partner, then what is it? What's the story that my partner's probably telling themselves right now? They might be telling themselves that they are not enough, or they might be telling themselves they're too much. They might be telling themselves that they're failing, that they're a failure.
They may be responding to their parent. They may be responding to the bully they had in the third grade, or the abuser they had as a child. Like, you're getting that energy. I think that's a piece of very mature work in terms of like, both exposing and then learning about your enduring vulnerabilities. So that's often a challenge for couples, particularly if they don't have like the emotional intelligence to really go there. But that's why all of us therapists are perfectly put together and our entire stories are completely understood and validated.
He says as he cracks his second beer.
I did not do that.
No.
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 But I will before the end of the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey.
So, hey, what?
Do you know why the tomato was embarrassed?
Why?
Because he saw the salad dressing.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Aww. Where do you get these? I'm really quite honest. Like, want to know.
It's my secret. It's like my best kept secret.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, I have a question.
I'm not telling you. It's in the vault.
If somebody donated to our, what is it called?
Patreon.
Our Patreon page. If somebody donated to Patreon, let's say $100. Would you tell them what is in your vault for dad jokes?
100%. I would not.
It's fine, Jason. We can't pay you as our producer, but the dad jokes are secret. They are locked up. It is sacred. Oh, man. That's funny. Do you have anything that you've been kind of getting lit up or excited about in therapy? I still don't know if I've nailed this sort of metaphor, by the way, but I'm glad I had a chance to just kind of talk it through.
Well, here's part two. Like, there's another part that I think for me, it goes back to power, right? And so I think subtly and without knowing it, we don't realize how much power we have over the interactions we have with our partner. And I mean it in this way. And you and I have talked about this before. It's in the area of attribution, right? So when your partner does something that is positive, you have an option to attribute that to something. You could attribute it to circumstance, or you could attribute it to their character. When they do something negative, you also have that same choice. I can attribute this to their character or circumstance. So I'll play out a scenario for you.
Yeah.
Let's imagine that you and I have a meeting time scheduled and that I am late for the meeting time.
Weird.
Then that's a negative behavior. You get to decide whether to A, go, hey man, everything okay? Did you sleep in? No,
I'm just messing with you. I get it. You're asking like attribute it to like, hey, is everything fine?
Yeah,
like, did you have to have car trouble? Like,
totally.
Was it something external?
Right. And if you say that, I'm going to go, no, it's my fault. I overslept. My bad. I couldn't get my internet to work. If you say, hey, asshole, or
WTF.
Hey,
hold on. I would probably say something like that.
I like this one. Ready? Hey, you big dumb jerk. Why are you always late? Then I'm going to go, well, screw you, because I had a car trouble. Like, I had a flat tire that I had to change. And
totally.
So you have power to influence my response to that negative behavior. Mm-hmm. Alternatively, there's this other side. And this is the example I always use. If I bring you or if I bring Rebecca a gift home from work.
Yeah.
And she says, what, did you just get that from a client and want to get out of your car? I'm like, no, I actually stopped at the store to pick up this thing for you because I love you. And I remember you told me you love porcelain unicorns. I was like, you know, like that is a thing. But if my client brought me this porcelain unicorn and then I took it home and like got it out of my car and just gave it to Rebecca. And she was like, oh my God, you remembered how much I loved unicorns. Did you stop and get this for me? Then again, my response is going to be like, ugh. No, I did. Sorry. I got this from a client. It's my bad.
Yeah.
My point is, when we attribute negative behavior to circumstance and positive behavior to character,
yep,
we create an opportunity for connection regardless of the motivation. Even if I totally was like, screw this, I don't really care about Laura. It's not, her time is not important to me. And you lean into compassion or empathy for me and maybe my car, it's going to soften me. Mm-hmm. But if I had a flat tire and you then yell at me, I'm going to get angry real quick. You know?
So what do you suggest if somebody is stuck in this attribution, this negative attribution error where they are automatically assuming the worst? I mean, I hear this from clients all the time. It happens to be a major goal in a lot of my therapy. When couples identify goals, it's they want to be given the benefit of the doubt, which is a lot of what you're talking about, right? Like, I want for you to think positively as opposed to negatively about me. But what do you do if you're stuck in this negative place where you're just assuming the negative?
Honestly, you got to practice. You got to just practice. You got to be like, okay, I remember this podcast I heard from Zach and Laura and this idea that I'm looking at this negative behavior and I get a choice right now. But here's the reality. It's not a humiliating choice. It's an empowering choice. Mm-hmm. I can completely change my partner's energy based on a decision I make in my brain.
Yeah.
Which that's baller right there.
Can I tell you something that just happened right before the podcast? So I'm doing laundry.
Yes.
I got home from camping. So I took Holden camping. And then that was because Dad was off and he was traveling for business. So first he went to a bachelor party. From the bachelor party, he then went to like the East Coast for business. So he had to fly and we were both gone and I'm doing the laundry for both of us. And then I come across a shirt that does not belong to me. And it's one of those moments where I imagine this playing out very differently depending on whose household this is occurring in. Luckily, it was just like a basic size medium V-neck red t-shirt that looked like it had been worn a lot. So it wasn't anything like sexy. It wasn't like sexy underwear or anything like that. Or like size extra small Lululemon pants, which probably would have frustrated me, but they make those sizes for children. I'm just going to say. So I look at it and I take a picture and I said, I just washed your girlfriend's t-shirt. You can let her know that she can come pick it up whenever she wants. And then I go and I sit down, I'm giggling to myself because I know he's going to get this in his office. He's going to read it and he's going to get a good giggle out of it. And then I sit down and I start thinking, now where did that t-shirt really come from? Because I just messing with my husband.
Yeah.
And then finally I realize, because I'm going through my head going, I was not around any children, like anybody like in a size medium or whatever. And then finally I went, oh yeah, I did spend 4 days with my little sisters who are both mediums. So they claimed it. I'd send them the same picture and I said, does this belong to one of you? Otherwise I need to have a long conversation with my husband.
And was it like from Lululemon?
No, it was Forever 21, which was even better because I'm like, yeah, well, she's 22. So she's going to be Forever 21.
So she didn't get the memo?
She didn't get the memo. You can't shop there anymore. Like I said, it was a t-shirt that's been worn apparently for over a year. So
right on.
I think that's kind of my giggle. Thought I'd share that with you. Thanks. I have nothing else to say.
Thanks. No, but you did it exactly right. Like you had a negative experience.
Yeah.
And you chose to make a circumstantial attribution rather than a characterological attribution. And he probably giggled and thought it was delightful, you know, versus.
I'm not even joking. The first thing that popped into my head was, I know that men wear women's clothing from time to time. not my husband, but he was with a bunch of guys for a bachelor party. And I honestly thought, I wonder if this is just one of their t-shirts. Cause it's a medium. And like, I wonder if one of these guys was wearing that was where my brain went. That is how much grace I had to extend to my husband was assuming that a man he was golfing with was wearing this t-shirt.
Well, and to my point, and because I know you and I know your relationship, that's a result of practice. That's you having practiced for a long time, you know, just making the appropriate attribution to in response to an ambiguous situation.
So. Ooh, I like this. I mean, I think we came full circle. what I was talking about with creating this buffer, slowing down the bullet before you react, was making the correct attribution that it's not about me. This pain bullet that is coming from my partner, it's not about me, it's about my partner. And then you made a point about, man, here we go. This is like a blog post. I can feel it. We've really pulled it together.
Okay.
About positive attribution. It's external. It's not a characterological attribution. It's not, yeah, negative. Okay. Well, thanks for allowing me to talk this through. I really appreciate it.
No worries. No worries.
How's your beer? Cold? Gone?
No, it's gross. It's gone. I'm
all right.
Hey. Hey.
Hey, what?
Why did Humpty Dumpty have a great fall?
Hold on. I think you already said this one. Wait. Why?
Because of his terrible summer.
I don't get it.
He had a great fall because he had a terrible summer.
Oh, it took me a while.
By the way, I'm having a great summer. Like never.
Me too.
Better. Yeah.
Yeah, except for your mallet finger. Sorry about that.
Actually, mallet finger isn't listeners. My current malady. Mallet finger is 2 years old. This one is a different knuckle, but I'm going to the doctor tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, if you would like to see Zach's hand and his wedding band, you just Google mallet finger, hit on images, and he is the very first image to come up.
That there it is.
My buddy Zach's hand.
I am the mallet finger guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see you later. See you later, friend.
Adio luego.
No, what is it? No, what do we do? Hold on. What do we do? We did this. We said, we're in Vanity Fair and this is friends. Oh, yeah. And then what did you do?
I don't know what I, oh. I hope they play that.
Okay. Now say the thing about the airplane.
Let's land it.
Okay.
Let's land this plane.
All right. Later. Okay.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. And I wanted to get you thinking now. We are a little less than a month away from having our next Epic Wives Experiment. You've heard me talk about this before. We are going to be launching the next Epic Wives Experiment starting September 14th. So if you're interested in checking it out and registering, do so now. Go to laurasexperiment.com, LAURAS. experiment.com. Thanks so much for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.